Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now?
Rebel Radio. Burn it down!
Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house.
Hey, welcome everybody to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. I got what I wanted. I popped the boys. It's going to be up here with my TK Tom, our back for another fantastic In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast show. As always, if you follow us on the socials, and I hope you do, it's at In My House Pod if you don't. But if you do, start sharing that stuff. Let's get some more followers, some listeners. Let's build this community up. Don't be selfish. I've been one of those people. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to share the fact that I'm listening and I like this product because I like it being mine, but let's not be that guy or girl or whatever you want to be. Don't be that person. Share it. Let's spread the wealth a little bit.
Yeah. Good or bad. Don't be a fucking pussy either on your social medias.
Yeah. So it appears that I upset some people last week and then they want to anonymously slide into my DMs and like, so I just want to wholeheartedly, from the bottom of my heart, if I offended you last week, go fuck yourself.
Yeah!
Fuck you!
If you're going to go out of your way to create a Twitter account just to say, don't talk shit about the Young Bucks, and then delete your account, fuck off and fuck you.
Fuck you.
Also, fuck you. Also, it's 2024. Don't go around calling people faggots.
Yeah, right? What are we doing? You know?
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I mean, am I a little upset I didn't get that heat being the heel of the show?
Fucking liar. Don't say a little. You were a lot upset. We talked later that night. You were pissed that you didn't get the heat.
I'm grouchy for 5 minutes of one episode and start getting messages.
Well, we'll see if you're in a different mood talking about AEW Dynasty. That's right. AEW has had a major show this past Sunday, and we're going to get into it. Obviously, we made picks. Obviously, we missed a match because in true AEW fashion, why not announce a match on Wednesday to put on the show for Sunday? That's how you do things. That's how AEW likes to do things. But we're going to get through this. We got a fun show planned for you, so let's get into it. Obviously, none of us bought the pay-per-view, of course. Oh, you guys don't even like AEW. Hell no, that's not the case. The thing's expensive.
Yes, it is.
And I have other means of watching these matches, so don't worry about it.
What do we got up first?
There was a zero-hour pre-show between Trent Beretta and Matt Sydal. Guess what? You didn't miss much. I still don't think any of that story is that engaging when you're getting Sue Chance over what's actually happening. It shows where you're standing.
I love the fact that they're doing something with Trent that's different now. I've been a big Trent mark since he was back in the Fed in, you know, mid 2000, whatever it was, like the PG era, early PG era. He was there as Trent Beretta. Liked him, always liked his look, liked his moveset, but I'm worried that this is just going to kind of go nowhere. But anyway.
So, you know, Beretta defeated Seidel, as it should go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the push will happen and something interesting. I mean, it's going to be Orange Cassidy. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Probably on a great episode of Dynamite instead of a pay-per-view. So that's great.
You said Rampage wrong.
Oh, I apologize. and then what else did we have here? Was Orange Cassidy and Shibata versus Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty on the 0 hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fucking travesty that is.
Why is Shibata on the fucking 0 hour?
I have a lot of questions about what they're doing with Shibata, but that's another show for another day.
Holy fuck. But Cassidy and Shibata went over Taylor and Moriarty, but on the fucking pre-show.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh, man.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh, boy, that's bad. Anyway, the Bang Bang Club, or the Bang Bang Gang, was also on the pre-show against the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, because, you know, why not give them some love on the fucking main card either?
Heaven forbid you do something with Jay White.
The words Bang Bang Gang and Daddy Ass should not be in the same sentence.
I dare you to Google it right now. Google it right now. Under 18, do not Google it right now. Do not Google it right now.
It sucks that the Bang Bang Gang, I mean, was on the pre-show, but got the win. They beat the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, but on the pre-show.
Now they're the unified trios champions.
Yeah.
Are they, though?
I'm pretty sure that's the graphic that I saw.
So are the Ring of Honor ones gone?
Does Ring of Honor still exist? Like,
is that a company? Is that a wrestling company?
You know?
I don't know anymore.
Right? It's a battle.
But it was on to the main card now with a hot start. It was Okada and Pac to start the show. Which, hell of an opener match I did watch.
I also
just as good as people were expecting. I was very impressed by it. It's on a card that is, let's get real, pretty good. It's a pretty good card. This was the ideal opener. Absolutely. I really enjoyed the match. I mean, it sucks that Pac comes back just to be like, ah, well, you're going to lose to Okada because we paid him all those millions of dollars. So we can't have you going over here. The crowd was really, really behind Pac at the end. It was really nice to see that, hey, you're our guy. Like,
I really, really enjoyed heel Okada when I watched it. He's got a slappable face too. Like,
yeah, he does. He's a smug looking guy.
He's a smug looking motherfucker. And also, side note, this might just be me, but the Rainmaker is my least fucking favorite move in wrestling. I fucking hate it. The ripcord clothesline, like, fuck off.
I'll say
some
this.
Guys take it well. That move look great.
In Japan, I loved it because the crowd loved it too. Over here, we're popping because we know it's supposed to be a big move, but if guys don't sell it properly, Pac does a great job. He's a smaller guy, but...
Yeah, but it was also Jimmy Havoc's finish for a long time.
That's a good point too.
And that dude had an arm like a wet fucking noodle.
Yeah, it would be different if it was a bigger guy. Like, if it was Powerhouse Hobbs delivering that short arm clothesline and just destroying guys, probably a little bit different. Okada's done the job of getting that move over, though. So, for me, it works, but I understand why for you, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, and there ain't no changing it now. Like, he ain't getting a new finish.
Yeah.
Okada, I believe we all had Okada going over.
All Okada.
Next up, it was Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black in matches.
Who the fuck cares?
Yeah. Damn, coming out hot already. I only saw clips of this match. It seemed okay.
Yeah,
nothing really popped out at me. I mean, it's nice that the House of Black got a win. You love to see them winning.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Who does this help and what does this do for a story? I don't know. I'm very confused by AEW's booking sometimes just to get guys on the show, whatever, but I don't see where this goes unless it's going to be like Copeland and Malakai are going to have a substantial feud.
That's what I think, but it doesn't help anybody else.
It really doesn't, but it's good to get that feud out the door. It's something I'd like to see.
My thought was, why do you have, if you can have three singles champions teaming up on a pay-per-view, you got too many fucking belts.
Well said.
Preach. I can't even say shit to that. That's a great
I know
point.
Technically one of them is a New Japan belt and one of them is Ring of Honor, but kiss my ass, you got too many belts.
If people have those belts, I agree. Like, if they should be able to be defended. Who did we all pick for this one?
We all had House of Black on this
That's
one,
great news for us. Yeah. Great job, guys.
Great job, team.
Next up was the TBS Championship match, Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart. Only saw clips. UK Tom, did you watch this one?
I saw clips, and I will cut them some slack because of the rumors of Julia being injured and wanting to work through the match. So maybe that's why it was so short and potentially wasn't as good as people were expecting it to be. But I mean, fair play to her if she did work injured.
I just don't think Julia is there yet. So sucks for Willow.
I think she can be with the right opponent. I'm just not sure if that right opponent is Willow right now.
No, but I mean, and good for the end of the match because Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart to win the title.
Yeah.
Which, who were the picks on that, Scotty?
We all had Willow.
Yeah. And great. Like, the crowd was behind it. There's a lot of excitement behind that. Sucks. Probably the rain won't be that long. I don't think it's going to be that long. But
I think it ends in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next month.
100%. After that, the AEW International Championship match, Kyle O'Reilly versus Roderick Strong. Saw clips again. Wasn't too impressed with what I saw.
I didn't watch this one. I did see clips, and it was kind of everything I'd expect from a match between these two if you watched it in semi-slow motion.
It was, do you chalk that up to ring rust, do you think, with Kyle O'Reilly?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Cole got out of the wheelchair. So,
and that's the biggest takeaway from that whole match, unfortunately. One, well, the other takeaway is like, did you guys know that Roderick Strong is the international champion? Because fucking wild. But yeah, Adam Cole standing up and walking, which is great. I still don't think he's quite close enough yet to return, but Adam Cole is desperately needed back because I think they have to circle back to wrapping up that Devil Mask storyline. People hate it because it didn't pay off the way that you hope, because Adam Cole was hurt. If he wasn't hurt, I think people would have been really digging that storyline. So
I forgot Adam Cole was employed.
Right? Like, that's the kind of feeling too. You're like, damn, like, guy spends more time playing video games than he does being on wrestling TV of any kind. So, I mean, nice to see him get out of the wheelchair. Strong defeated O'Reilly. Who were the picks on that?
Mike and myself had Kyle. And Tom had Roderick Strong. So UK Tom is pitching a shutout right now.
The match we didn't have in our picks because, you know, it was booked after the show. That's FTW Championship. By the way, it's not a real championship. It's hilarious that they're defending it like it is one. Doesn't matter. It was Hook versus Chris Jericho. Guys, let me tell you. The crowd hates Chris Jericho in AEW. They hate him.
They sure do.
There's no other way of taking away. Go home, Jericho. Go home. Fozzy sucks. Please retire. They are not having Chris Jericho anymore.
Tom, go ahead. I've got some words, but go ahead.
He needs to go away for 6 months. Just go off TV. Go do Fozzy shit. Come back. I'm sure he'd get a pop when he comes back. How can we miss you if you don't fuck off?
I don't like this. I don't like this at all. That diehard AEW audience, which, let's be honest, is their whole audience. There's not a lot of casual AEW fans. I don't understand the turn about why all of a sudden they're going after Jericho this hard. And Tom, you might be able to help me out if I missed something. Does it have to do with the Kylie Rae stuff? Was there anything that was filed? Like, did he have anything filed against him? Did she come out and state her story? What am I missing here? Because outside of her liking a tweet, which is all I remember, that's what everyone's going off of.
There, from my memory, there was nothing official. However, people who were around who are not bound by NDAs or whatever they are were basically confirming everything that the internet was saying.
Okay, then that's fine. I'm not condoning anything. I'm not saying I'm going to cheer for Jericho just because he's my favorite. If he did something shitty, fucking no different than Vince McMahon. Fucking just get him out, move him away.
100%. Right? There's process for that, though.
True.
Like, what does that say about the company you work for again? That they're like, oh, so like this is just fine to not mention, but like here's some fucking CCTV footage of someone getting choked out. Like, what?
Yeah. So I'm good. I wasn't sure. And I knew there was something. I didn't know if I missed something when it came to an alleged allegation against Jericho. If they're keeping Jericho around, which obviously they have been, bring a song back. People love singing that fucking song. And if they don't sing the song and they start booing or they sit on their hands, then I think it's pretty crystal clear. This guy's got go away heat or turn the channel heat, which is never good. So do something. But
I think Tom's right. I think you need the break. I think you need to go away. You need to make people remember how much they love you in ring as that character, Jericho. Sure, you can be a shitty person outside. There's plenty of them in the wrestling industry. But going away will help. I honestly, guys, I still think too, Jericho at the end of his contract, he's going right back to the Fed. He's going to end it there, get put in the Hall of Fame. I know Tom has said it numerous times in our group chat. I think the likely path for Jericho after this contract is up is to go back to WWE and finish up there.
I agree.
But Jericho went over the young gun. How about we talk about that?
I tortured myself and watched this match.
Yeah.
And I am seeing improvements in Hook. I haven't seen all that much of him, but he does seem to improve every time I see him, so that's good. He did drop Jericho on his head quite a few times, which the crowd loved. Jericho shouldn't have won. They shouldn't have gone so long with Jericho being the way he is right now and Hook being as inexperienced as he is. I would have done the old Taz finish where he chokes him out in the Taz mission in about 20 seconds.
Oh, nice. That would have been good.
Just because not every match on an AEW pay-per-view needs to be 20 minutes.
Are we? We'll do this quick because we got to keep moving on through this card. Do we think the rumors of Hook going to the PC are true? Because yeah. I'm starting to believe that this is happening. He is going to go to the PC and get that the help he really needs.
And Taz will go too and go in the Hall of Fame.
That's brilliant.
And hopefully replace Booker T on the next.
See, I was going to say
that. Love that so much.
A viable option, but I also think there is.
Can I ask? Because I was like, the only rumor I heard about Hook was when his contract is up, he's just going to explore his options. Are there more rumors that there's already been touch or feelers that he's going to the PC?
It's about the same kind of conversation as this from those who are in the wrestling media. Mm-hmm. I mean, also all signs point to he's got a great look.
Yeah,
he's young. It's the kind of star you want to bring in and build up through that system. I would absolutely think WWE is putting out that feeler the second that contract's up. And if I'm Hook, I'm going, yeah, I'll take that call. And I will. Sure. Like I got to be on TV and pay-per-views. No, Hook even knows. I think like I can't hang with some of this roster. There's guys Hook can work, but there is not a lot of them on AEW programming. I think he's a better fit to go to the PC and work his way through the NXT system personally.
Nice.
Next up, the AEW World Women's Championship match, Thunder Rosa versus Timeless Toni Storm. Saw clips of this again. Wasn't disappointed by the clips I saw. Nice to see Thunder Rosa in action. I'm still way into Timeless Toni Storm. Like, I'm way into the shtick. Like, I love it. So I'm happy Tony got the win. But also, the women's division in both companies, sweet fucking Christ, make people care more, man.
Yeah,
it is insanity. It's getting insane where I'm just like, this should feel bigger than it is, and it never does.
Do you know what's odd? That the big companies, main roster, WWE and AEW, have a good handful of great women wrestlers on their rosters, but it's NXT and TNA, the smaller divisions or developmental, that are putting on way better programming with their women's roster. It's so weird to me. Like, Shawn Michaels is getting praised left and right because half of his NXT show is about the women's side of of the roster. So it's wild to me that the big conglomerate companies can't figure out how to do that on the main shows. But that's just observation.
Who do we have for picks there?
We all had Timeless Toni Storm.
Of course.
Yeah.
Next up was Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. And holy shit. Guys, this is a pretty fucking fantastic wrestling match. This may be top 15 matches I've ever seen.
Wow.
I would agree with that.
So you build up these two guys. Like, yeah, they're the best. They're going to be... Bryan Danielson has made everyone he's worked with look even better, and those guys are already great. They're already great before they step in with him, and they just get elevated further. That cutter to that knee to the head...
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, you killed him.
Yeah.
They left it all out there. It was great in-ring storytelling, too. Danielson's just in a league of his own. His strikes look so fucking real. If I'm going to work Danielson, I'm going like, please don't hit me like that. Please don't hit me like that. Will's the perfect guy to do that with. This, I think, helped Will Ospreay go full babyface.
Yes.
This was the match that did it. That Callis family split's going to be real. Kind of heard some of that nonsense on commentary, but yeah, I have a feeling Ospreay's going full babyface.
So my thing on this match, and it's easily my match of the year so far.
Oh, well.
The thing I really liked about it most was Will Ospreay was selling. And that's something he doesn't always do. And Will, you're a big guy, especially for a Brit, but you're not a big boy in the States. You got to sell for the big guys. And I know Bryan Danielson isn't one, but Will Ospreay was selling. Everything was snug. Everything hit. And like we already said, that fucking knee, I thought he was dead.
If you want to show someone a clip of wrestling this year, show them that knee and be like, yeah, you want to tell these guys it's fucking fake? There ain't nothing fake about that.
So at work, the gentleman that sits behind me, who it's his last week and then he's retiring. He's retiring this Friday from the workforce. God bless Ian. Great guy. He taps me on the shoulder on Monday and says, what's this I'm seeing on Twitter of the greatest wrestling match people have ever seen? I'm like, oh, yeah, that was Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson at this AEW pay-per-view last night. People are going nuts for it. He's like, but what makes it the best wrestling match? And I said, well, these two guys are known for, you know, wrestling snug and tight and trying to make it look as real as possible while telling a story in the ring. And they did that last night better than anybody and better than anyone's ever seen this year. So he's like, watch it again and then tell me more. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to watch it again and tell him more. But he's so invested on, like, is this really one of the best wrestling matches ever? And he doesn't watch wrestling. Uh-huh. He's more of a baseball guy. And to me, that just shows how great this match really, really was. Because if it can grab the intrigue of this gentleman who is about to retire, go off and just watch baseball and enjoy the rest of his life as a grandpa, that tells me that this match did its job.
Yeah, it's like Tom said, it's the best wrestling match of the year.
I have just one last little point about this match, and then we can move on. But Bryan Danielson is a fucking animal. He's got to be in his 40s now, surely.
Oh, yeah.
And they went 32 minutes, 40 seconds, and he wasn't even breathing hard. He didn't even look tired.
You know what?
And not collision before.
Yeah, and not a spot fest that you usually come to see in an Ospreay match, right? Timed big spots, good chain wrestling in between, stuff that built up to the big moments. Like, they did such a great job. And especially in AEW, where you can, like, the spots can get out of hand, which, like, I'm all for a spot fest. I love them. But this had more traditional wrestling to fill the void, and it worked beautifully. It's a masterclass. Anyone who hasn't watched it, I highly recommend it. You go watch it. You won't leave disappointed. And if you do, I can't help you. Create a fucking fake Twitter account about it and message me. Go for it.
Next up, not Ospreay on this one, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, UK Tom's favorite. That's right, the Young Bucks.
Hey, versus, I'm saying nothing. Yeah. I upset people. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. Versus FTR. I will say this. I did watch this match. These guys just literally had the conversation behind the curtain and go, you guys just want to fucking kill each other tonight? Yeah, let's go fucking kill each other. You have to follow up Ospreay and Danielson. So you did have to follow it up with this, which was a spot fest. It absolutely was in all the right ways. Some of the stuff I'm seeing from even FTR, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is not the team you are, but you got on that level. It is that car crash kind of match. It was awesome to watch. Very good. It's all taken away by having the moment, which we talked about last week, that the potential was there to happen. That's right. Jungle Man Jack Perry has returned, the scapegoat. Yeah, I guess it warranted showing your CCTV footage to build up Jack Perry, having the Young Bucks bring up scapegoat, love your work, all to have this moment happen here. Crowd didn't seem to mind. It seemed pretty high on the idea that Jack Perry's aligning himself with the Bucks, obviously with Okada now as well, costing FTR the win there. Tom, go ahead.
So this is going to hurt me quite a lot, but the Young Bucks winning the bouts was the right thing to do. And I know they were my pick and it was the right thing to do. The spot with, I don't remember which member of FTR it was, but the pile driver, I was like, oh shit. Cause as much as I don't like the Young Bucks and I think they're twats and all that, I don't want either of them to get hurt. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And that pile driver was pretty sick.
I mean, that Wheeler suicide dive straight into the table. Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck are you doing?
The thing with that side of FTR, because we don't see it very often, it makes it all the more impactful.
You're right. When you're not having to do those kind of matches all the time, those moments are special for FTR. Yeah. But I mean, when you're getting please be careful chance during that match, like AEW fandom is good for something. But no, the Bucks obviously went over. I forget who I picked.
You picked FTR. Tom,
I felt like that. Bucks. It felt like it was a smart move to, you know, have them cut that babyface promo and then go out there and do it. And ending the show, of course, was Samoa Joe versus Swerve. This was okay. I'm happy with the result. I'm happy with Swerve being the champion. I'm definitely stoked on that Black Panther entrance. That was cool as all hell.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like, not my favorite Joe match.
I think it's about all you're going to get from Samoa Joe in 2024. And the dude's been wrestling a hard style for 20 years.
Yeah. I'm with you, but Swerve is the reason I'm happy. We put him on top finally. Good for AEW. Now let's do something cool with it.
I think we're going to get something cool with it. I'm so happy that they tried to capture lightning in a bottle, and we'll see how it plays out with his title reign. I think it leads to a match against Ospreay later on this year.
Cool.
My worry is...
I think in Wembley.
Would be amazing, right? I just don't want them to cool down. I want to see Swerve working every other week. You know, I don't want to see a bunch of videos, backstage stuff or stuff that, let's be honest, what they're doing with Cody right now on television. I don't want any of that. I want Swerve working. I want people coming at him and him being literally a marked man and him having to fight for his life for his championship. That's what I want. But love the fact that they put the title on him and they're going to run with him. So we all pick Swerve on this one. Anyone else have anything to say on this? Or
again, great wrestling happens on AEW cards. It's what the fallout is after. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on Wednesday.
Yeah. My thing with the Danielson Ospreay match was, I know the story was, I think I'm the best wrestler and I think you think you're the best wrestler. Let's go out there and find out who the best wrestler is, which is nice and simple. If there was more of a heated storyline, I think it could have helped this match just a touch more, but I mean, you can't take away from anything those guys did in that match. So great stuff. Tom, you went 8 for 8 on this one. You went perfect. I went 7 for 8 and Paralegal Mike went 6 for 8. So a pretty good night for all of us at AEW Dynasty there.
Still have to assume I'm in the lead for all shows booked. So great job, everyone.
Because you didn't get any heat from last week's show, you've been docked points. So
fucking bullshit.
Before we wrap up here, I was at work today because that's how I pay bills, and talking to a coworker who was also a wrestling fan, and he hit me with a great question situation here. He said, I think I'm going to make a list of, if I were to trade five wrestlers from AEW to WWE and then vice versa, trade five wrestlers from WWE to AEW, who would you pick? And I was like, that's a great question. And I took it in the angle of, if they moved companies, who would it benefit? It would benefit them to move to another company. Mm-hmm. So I threw it out to the fellows here on the group chat, and we're going to give our list here on the show before we wrap up. We'll talk at WWE draft next week. That starts on Friday this week and then into Monday next week. So we'll be recording right after Monday Night Raw happens. So we'll be doing some Fed stuff next week. But guys, I like this idea. I'm not going to lie. My AEW list to WWE came within seconds.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy list to make, actually.
So let's do that one, because a WWE one is, I found a little bit more difficult. But I'm going to start with, for me, it's no
particular. Give your whole list. We're running low on time. Let's give your five.
So my five, and this includes tag teams.
From A, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. One of mine is a group pick. So.
Yeah, so I picked FTR, House of Black, Wardlow, Britt Baker, MJF. Those are my five.
I feel like our list is going to kind of be similar. Tom, who'd you have from AEW moving to WWE?
So I have MJF, FTR, Trent Beretta.
Nice.
Dustin Rhodes.
Ooh.
As a trainer.
Yeah, but I see the pick and why you did it. Yeah,
and Hook,
love it.
Yeah,
I think that's a great list, Mike.
Wardlow, I had MJF, I had House of Black, I had Adam Cole, and I had Britt Baker.
Nice, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Had Powerhouse Hobbs on my list until I went, no, I think Cole's got to go back.
He was definitely on my list too. My WWE list. It took me a little bit. I had to look at the roster. I'm like, who would benefit from moving, which wasn't easy. So I went Dijak from NXT, Viking Raiders, make them the War Raiders again, and just have a great run as a tag team. Karrion Kross, Shinsuke Nakamura, and in a one trade, I would trade MJF for Grayson Waller. I want Grayson Waller to go over there because I think Grayson Waller, with even less restrictions on him, could be the biggest heel in AEW that's not MJF.
Tom?
Okay, so Ricochet, so we can have another Ricochet and Ospreay match. Dijak.
Nice.
This one hurts me, but it's because I want him to wrestle Bryan Danielson. Ilya Dragunov.
Good call, good call.
Giovanni Vinci, because his style is better for AEW.
Nice.
And Booker T, so I don't have to hear his fucking commentary.
The hell? Mike, what do you got?
I had Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nice.
Everyone's favorite loser, Finn Balor.
Ooh.
I had Apollo Crews.
Ooh, he'd be good.
Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
That's a great list, dude.
That is a good list.
Great list.
For guys who I think were on, like, you'll really benefit style-wise to go work there. They could do something with you. New Catch Republic. No. No. Fucking stupid.
Just awful. Thanks, Frank, for that idea, because I had fun doing this list real
quick.
Great
idea.
Yeah. Do we have time for
we got 4 minutes. That's fucking great. Let's hit a Tom question.
The return of the pop quiz after a few weeks of running out of time.
The Tom God pop quiz. It.
So
Tom pop
initially the NWO was going to remain as the outsiders and be joined by a third person who had just left WWE. Who was it?
Macho.
Well, the terrible rumors were Mabel. I remember that.
It was Viscera.
Ugh. That counted for him. He's got it.
Same thing.
But Eric Bischoff has disputed that. and said it's that was his, never true.
It's but, in his book that it is.
So I get the point on that. Either way, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You do get the point.
Man,
yeah.
What a joke that would have been.
Right?
If old Viscera walked down, you're like, are we sure? Well,
considering that one was answered so quick, I could throw another one at you.
Yeah, sure. Give it another one.
Who was Shane McMahon's first match against?
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
No.
It might help both of us.
All right.
Can we at least find out the event? Was it a Raw, a Sunday Night Heat?
It was a Raw.
Okay. I'm going to guess Test. That's my guess.
Ow. Fuck, I don't know. Mick Foley.
Mike, you get the point.
Fuck right
Let's
off.
Go!
Fuck right
Let's
off.
Go!
With the caveat,
we never because... established a rule that we could do two quizzes, pet questions.
Oh,
in
there
one
it is.
Show.
Now it all changes. So, we did one where I think the WrestleMania one had numerous questions.
Yeah, it was a megasode. It was a megasode.
Oh, there it is.
God damn it! Fine. Well done.
Nice.
That's there such you a go. Bullshit guess.
Hey,
I will for future pop quizzes. They start getting a little bit harder.
Perfect.
That's okay. I get that way too throughout the entire show.
So. He popped.
Oh, goodness. This has been fun. For a show that was kind of like just, what do we talk about? Eh, let's just do this, this, and this.
That's what people love to hear. What do we talk about? I guess AEW did that pay-per-view.
Wait, they did?
Yeah. You can always follow us on our socials at In My House Pod, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Once you see this podcast, let's do it. Hit that share button. Give us a rate and review. It all helps out to us being able to do more cool stuff for you, maybe with you. You never know. But guys, this is a fun show. Real fun show. Great job, everybody.
Great job to me for getting a pop quiz question. Good job, paralegal Mike.
Yeah, Barry Horowitz yourself. Just keep patting yourself on the back. For you, K Tom. Fucking paralegal Mike, I'm Scotty Villa. This has been In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house.